I'm Allison Kaskowski, otherwise known as the Allison K. I'm a fitness innovator and entrepreneur turned business mentor and retreat master. A client experience is more than just making the sale or the transaction. A client experience is about how it's put together so that clients can receive amazing real transformation. Here you'll hear all about how the industry leaders are creating amazing experiences. I'm always going to give it to you straight because I know your time is valuable. Are you ready? Let's get into the show.
Hey everybody, it's Allison Kaskowski. Thanks for joining me again today for another edition of Creating the World's Best Client Experience. This is our business podcast, which is an offshoot of our very successful Tuesday show, The Ultimate Journey of Self-Care. I am your host. It is great to be with you on Thursday. And you know, when I interview someone on this show, I always like to not just talk about business, but insert a little bit of personal story in there too, because our personal story, a lot of times, is really what drives us. And my guest today is really an embodiment of that. I'm talking to Shannon Wilburn, who calls herself a serial entrepreneur, but she is also an executive coach, and she's coming to us from Oklahoma today. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for having me. I love to talk business, and so excited to have the opportunity.
Fabulous. So you and I were talking before we hit record.
Yes.
And, you know, you were telling me a little bit about your story. So I would love for you to share some of that with my audience before we really dive into our topic today, which we're not just going to talk about business. We're going to talk a little bit about franchising, about transitioning roles, and really what creates this serial entrepreneur to some degree, right?
Yes. So I always wonder where I'm supposed to start in my story, because as a serial entrepreneur, you can bet that those people who've started and sold and started and sold and started, you know, and failed. And we've done this for quite some time. And I mean, if I had to go back and think about my first, I was probably selling blow pops to people in high school, you know, making 25 cents on blow pop, you know.
Yeah. I think for me, it was a lemonade stand when I was 8 years old.
Yes. So. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know what it is, you know, in family DNA. My parents were not entrepreneurs, but anyway. So I will say, I think my first real true business where I, you know, filed paperwork with the government and did all of that was a children's consignment event.
Yeah.
And I started this in my living room in 1997, so back in the 1900s, and it was due to a need that I had in my own life. So I had grown up shopping consignment. There's a way bigger story to that, but I had grown up shopping consignment just due to some financial things in my family's history. And so we started shopping consignment, my sister and I, when I was 12. I got married, continued shopping consignment, had children, continued shopping consignment. And my mom gave me the idea to start an event she didn't say where, but we did it in my living room, where we asked families to bring their gently used children's and maternity clothes, toys, and baby equipment to the house. And my business partner and I got everything ready. We sold $2,000 worth of children's and maternity items in a weekend. And I made $150 and my business partner made $150. And the families that brought items made money, and the shoppers who shopped saved money.
So it was a win-win all the way around.
Totally a win-win. And we didn't know this was going to become our thing. But when that first event was over, the shoppers and the sellers asked us, when are we doing this again? And so we got into a cadence of hosting an event. It's called Just Between Friends, two times a year. So once in the spring and once in the fall. And we did that locally here in Tulsa for 6 years. It just became the thing that people expected. It was a way for families to make money and save money and to come get everything they need for their family under one roof, all as the seasons change. So we have four seasons in Tulsa. Right. And so when it's getting cold outside, they need the coats and the boots and all that kind of stuff. And when it's 100 degrees outside, they need the shorts and the swimsuits and all of that stuff. So grew that locally for 6 years. And then my business partner and I walked into the franchising space. So we had had multiple people over the course of the previous 3 years reach out to us and say, we want to start this in our area.
Wow.
He had my business partner, her degree was journalism. My degree was elementary education. And so we, you know, we didn't have business training or business background. And so we were letting people use our name. We were sharing our systems and processes, our IP, all of that, just not knowing. And so when we went to, and not making any money off of that, we were just kind of helping them do it. When someone suggested we should franchise and kind of professionalize all of that. And so we prayed about that and decided to take that leap into franchising. And the beginning of 2004, we started selling franchises.
I love that.
Yeah. So over the course of the next 20 something years, we sold 150 plus locations in 33 states.
And amazing.
Yeah, it was absolutely, when I tell people about it, I say it was fun and it was challenging and it was fun.
Anytime you're building a business, it's challenging. Let's not kid ourselves. It's great. We wouldn't change anything for the world. I can tell you, I've been an entrepreneur at heart since I was a child too.
Yep.
But I'm not going to say, look, it's all just puppies and rainbows. It's not.
Right.
I mean, it's work.
Yes. It's totally work. When I stood on after I had the transaction in December of 22, I'm still on the board right now. So I went to the conference with all the franchisees and their managers, and just, it was really fun. And they had put together, just super kind. The company had put together like a legacy book where people had submitted stories and pictures of, you know, a staff and franchisees, and they handed it to me. Of course, I was on stage crying, you know, they're handing it to me. And they said, Shannon, would you like to say something? I'm like, give me that mic. I told the room of probably 170-ish people, I said, I wish someone would have told me years ago that entrepreneurship and business ownership is a series of challenges.
Yeah.
Because early on in my entrepreneurship journey, I would get through a challenge, something really big that I didn't think I was going to survive. I would get through the challenge and think, oh, good, no more of that. And then 2 months later, the next one would come along. And I said, I wish someone would have told me in the beginning that your job as a business owner is to be the chief problem solver.
Yeah.
Your team cannot figure out what to do. It's going to get bumped up to you. And so you're going to get the biggest, hardest problems.
Yeah.
If you can be okay with that and know that you're going to have to surround yourself with smart people, you're going to have to look outside of yourself for information. You're not going to know the answers to everything. If you can be okay with that, then definitely step into entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
If that is going to wreck you mentally, physically, spiritually, don't do it.
Look, there's absolutely nothing wrong if you realize it isn't for you to go and work for someone else in whatever capacity feels good to you or whatever, right? That's why it's why entrepreneurship really isn't for everyone. But what I really want to circle back to for a minute is you had this idea.
Yes.
You had this idea. And since the show is really more about business, you had this idea and you basically ran with it. You really didn't know what you didn't know. You know, you just kept going because it was working and you were getting results and people were happy and that was enough for you, right? And so at what point did you realize that there was a lot more to this than that?
I think we had several inflection points in the business. I think the first inflection point was when we had to pay for a really large venue and we knew we weren't going to make the money to cover it. But I, being the visionary, I could see how this was going to help so many more people if we could just get a bigger space. So that was one of the turning points. And then I would say, I mean, I would call that a leap of faith.
Yeah, of course.
Let me make this decision knowing I don't have the money, but I'm banking on, you know, risking that. So having a high propensity for risk is really good. But I think probably the next thing is when people started saying, hey, we want to do this. Can you help us do this? And when we stepped into that franchising space, and I mean, it's very hard. Franchising is hard. It's a capital intensive business. It's a highly litigious business.
Totally.
And it is, you have to have a certain type of personality to do well in the business. You have to be nurturing, and you also have to hold people to compliance.
Yeah.
And that's a line that it's very difficult for some people to walk. But I think when people started asking us about that, they wanted to do something that, you know, my business partner and I had created, I think that was probably when I knew, okay, like, this is blessing.
This can work. Yeah.
It's blessing communities like crazy. And it just became, we can't not do this.
Yeah.
And knowing how it was going to affect people. And it's funny, I just gave a visual to, I was interviewing a Just Between Friends franchisee yesterday for a case study that we're working on. And she's a 16-year legacy person in our brand. And, you know, I was talking to her about how many people come to her event. And she said, oh, probably about 4,000 in the spring and about 4,000 or 5,000 in the fall. And I'm like, man, that's 10,000 people. You know, almost 10,000 people that this one location is serving.
And
I told her, I said, I was watching the being from Oklahoma, we were watching Texas A&M in Texas last fall on a football game. And I was looking at the stadium. I was like, that is so many people. And I asked my husband, I said, how many people do you think that stadium holds? And he said, I think it's like 108,000 or something like that. And I said, babe, that stadium with every seat taken, that's how many consigners sold with Just Between Friends last year.
Yeah.
And I said, what is that? Is crazy to me.
Yeah. Hey,
that many people. And I said, but if you multiply that times five, that is how many shoppers shopped at our sales last year. And if you think about all the shoppers and all the consigners and then their families, that
even more people that you helped.
It's like impact is mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
And the fact that something can come out of nothing and then go on to produce this just good thing for so many people is. Yeah.
Well, and I think as you're sitting here talking about like sort of like providing some perspective when it comes to the numbers and everything, because I do think that for people listening who are in the weeds of their business on a regular basis, or maybe they're thinking about, you know, what's next, it's hard to think like that because you're kind of in the day to day, right? But one of the things I always like to highlight on this show is really the client experience from two perspectives, right? Yep. One is, how do we always massively enhance customer value? And how do we highlight the change, the actual change that we're helping people get? And so I'm listening to you give these numbers and the perspective behind it. And not only are you providing massive value to all the people that you've helped through your idea, which is really how this started. It was an idea.
Yeah.
But you've also highlighted the fact that all of these people were blessed by being able to be helped, right? They were able to get the things that they needed and all of that. So it's like that right there is really why you do what you do.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, it was not something that we measured for a really long time. I mean, we've always measured consigners.
Yeah.
And then along the way, we started measuring when we figured out a way, like, how do we measure how many people come in the door without having someone to stand at the front door.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
You know, we figured that out. But I think keeping track of key performance indicators and having some type of metric or multiple KPIs within your organization, that is what gets measured gets done.
Yeah. Well, and it's proof positive. It's information, right? It kind of tells you. It doesn't talk about like the, you know, your worth necessarily, or the fact that what you're doing is good work. It's not that. But what it's doing is it's giving you information. It's telling you kind of where you are in that moment in time. And without that information, you can't make other decisions.
Correct.
Right.
Correct. Yeah. I think whenever I'm working with my clients now, when we're trying to measure I think franchising is so now I do executive coaching for who are listening.
You kind of transitioned out of that. You sold that business. We'll get to that in just a minute.
Yeah.
But you sold that business.
Yes.
Right. You worked up, you made the decision to franchise.
Yep.
You got it to a point where you could sell it, and you did. And now you're actually kind of working behind the scenes, right, with other business owners and helping them kind of flesh out the ideas that they're having. But I want to go back to the franchising thing for a minute before we move on. Is this idea that when you make the decision to franchise, because I've had guests on here where we've talked about franchising before, and it's really more about here's what it is, here's how you do it. If you're looking to franchise, you need to think about this. But from your perspective, since you've done it, you created an idea and you've done it and you've been through the whole process, one of the things that is really kind of sitting with me right now is this idea. It's not really an idea, but it's this whole point of you realizing, okay, you make the decision to franchise because your business has gotten to the point where you think that could work.
Yes.
But in that process, what you do is you literally step into another role.
Yes.
So you get out of what it is that you're doing that's making you money, right?
Yep.
And you're stepping into another role because your business is transitioning. Talk to us a little bit about that.
Yeah. And I think that is one of the biggest things that no one talks about.
Yeah. Agree.
Because when people are, when they are an entrepreneur, they've created a restaurant or they've created a service-based brand or they've created, you know, a plumbing company or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it is making money.
Yeah.
It is cash flowing. There are systems and processes. There's profitability. Maybe the founder doesn't have to be in the day-to-day as much if it's, you know, if they've grown it, if it's a, you know, cash flows enough where they can hire enough people to do the things. I mean, that would be the best thing. And then oftentimes those founders will say, well, we should just replicate and duplicate this in another area.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like that happens prematurely. They don't open a second and third location. I would always, not that anyone asks for this advice, but I'm going to give this advice if you want a franchise. My best piece of advice is to do a second and maybe even a third location before you decide to step into franchising.
Mm-hmm.
Because just because it will work in your area doesn't necessarily mean it will work in another area. And you want to vet that. And I've got a great friend. His name is David Barr. And he is just an icon in franchising, has multiple brands. He sits on multiple boards. He's just a phenomenal leader. And he describes franchising as the licensing of a business model that produces predictable cash flows to an average franchisee with average intelligence, with average work ethic on an average day.
Yeah. Interesting.
And that is not to say that franchisees are average.
I get it.
Yeah, not derogatory. It is to say that you, as the franchisor, need to make sure that your brand that you are creating or have created will work financially, profitability-wise, that you will have highly satisfied franchisees if it only does average.
Yeah.
Probably the founder is not average.
Yeah.
They're
where they are because they've been willing to do the unconventional thing, right?
And franchisees there are some franchisees that are entrepreneurs, but most of the time franchisees are people who don't like as much risk.
Right.
They come and they want
everything to be predictable. They want, right.
They want to know, I'm going to make $200,000 running this business.
Yeah.
And putting $200,000 in my pocket, you know, or $100,000 or whatever the number is. But yeah, so I just think that until we recognize that, and I don't know. I feel like it's very important for people to understand that when you franchise, you are getting out of the business you are in, and you are getting into the business of franchising, which franchising is what you are doing as the owner of a franchise. The franchisor is you are supporting franchisees with legal. You are supporting franchisees with legislative. You are supporting franchisees with marketing, with operations, with technology. And you have, hopefully you've figured all of that out, but then you have to do the copy-paste, train, copy-paste, train.
Yeah, totally.
And so you become the trainer and the person that franchisees go to when they can't figure it out. And so you need to have good support. I mean, that's the great franchises have a well thought out support system, and there's great communication, and there are conferences, and there's continuing education, and it's so lots of founders, when they start, they hold on to their corporate location. And then they start franchising, which is exactly what we did. So we started franchising, and we thought, okay, our Tulsa location of just Between Friends, this is as big as it's going to get. Like, I don't know why I thought that, but I was like, okay, we were doing $400,000 in sales annually when we started franchising. I'm like, okay, we're going to copy paste a $400,000 model. Mm-hmm. But what happened was, as we grew the franchise system, and as we the Tulsa business continued to grow.
Yeah.
So, 7 years into the franchise system, this $400,000 model was now doing $1.4 million.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what happened there, that was great from a monetary side, but it was very difficult because we have this living, breathing, growing company over here. And here I am trying to support franchisees. And so we organized the company at that point. And my business partner took the Tulsa business and I took the franchise system, because what was happening was, and this is probably something that not a lot of people talk about, but I was ignoring my franchisees when they needed me the most.
Yeah.
I was so focused on my
here working on your, yeah. So I think that's really sage advice for people listening, because I think in this day and age, my personal feeling is this, it's 2025. There's never been a better time to monetize something that you know something about than now.
Yeah.
I think there's so many ways that as an entrepreneur that you can monetize your expertise and something that you're passionate about. But on the flip side of that, I think you illustrated a perfect example of that is that, if you get something and you grow it and it's successful and then you decide to do something with it, it's almost like you've created a whole nother set of problems that you have to solve, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm the kind of person who wants that. I don't know.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm thrilled to announce that I'm partnering with a brand new product, and it's called Celevate. This is an amazing, tasty, gummy supplement, and it comes in two varieties. One designed to help you with inflammation and recovery, perfect for after a workout, or if you've had like several days in a row where you've really pushed it and you're really starting to feel it in your body, this is the perfect addition to a regular routine. The other formula helps address focus and memory, which, let's be honest, I think we can all use a little help there, right? What's different about Celevate is that not only does it taste great, but it has amazing antioxidant power. So many vitamins and supplements on the market today, you either have to take several in a single day to even see any kind of tangible result, or most of the time, a lot of them don't even give you the result that they promise. And Celevate checks both boxes. I take one of each formula every day. And what's more is that they pack and travel really well. So you can take some and put them in a Ziploc bag and throw it in your bag when you're going out of town, and they won't melt. And it just is the perfect addition to whatever it is that you're doing every day in the way of vitamins and supplements and whatever else works for you. So I knew that I had to get in here and at least tell you about it. I would love it if you would head over to their site and give it a try. I'm actually going to offer you a really special deal. You can find this amazing product at their website, and that's spelled Celevate.com, which is CELLEV8.com. And use my special promo code, theAllisonK2024, and you can save 15% off. I would love to know what you think once you have a chance to try this. Well, as entrepreneurs, that's what we sign up for. It's
right.
Like, this is what we want, but we also buy into the fact that there's going to be like, new levels, new devils is what a friend of mine calls it, right?
Oh, that's awesome. I'm going to steal that.
Yeah, absolutely.
New levels, new devils.
Yeah. So now you're on the backside of all that.
Yes.
Now you are an executive coach, and you sort of work behind the scenes now where you help your clients who maybe are trying to navigate these hoops and trying to figure out what's next in their business and how that affects their life and all that. So talk to us a little bit about how you help your clients now.
Yeah. So I made the decision when at the end of my leadership of Just Between Friends, I had hired a president.
Mm-hmm.
And so she was in that role. And when I hired the president, it took probably half of my workload off of my plate. And so instead of working 60 hours a week, I was working 30 hours a week. And I was like, oh, what is this new time? What is this thing?
What am I going to do with all this time, right?
I turned on the TV at lunch so I could sit on the couch and eat lunch. And I'm like, what in the world? Something is wrong with me. And it was awesome, but it was also a little unnerving for someone who's very driven and has never had time like that. So what happened was people started calling me. They had been calling me for years, like, hey, Shannon, can I pick your brain about this? I'm sure this happens to you as well.
Yeah.
And in the past, the years previously, I was just at capacity with my workload and I wasn't able to say no. I mean, I was not able to say yes often. But once my president took half my job responsibilities, it opened up capacity for me to say yes. And so before I knew it, I was saying yes to these other entrepreneurs locally and, virtually did help with their franchise system or their business. And so I found myself very quickly coaching 6 people for free every month. And wow. So when I sold the brand, I thought, okay, what do I want to do next? And just did a lot of praying around, like, what do I want to do? Who do I want to be in my next career? And I thought, well, I can go be a CEO of another brand. I could become a franchisee, become a multi-unit franchisee of something that I love, or I could coach. Those were kind of the things that I was looking at. And this will give you a little bit of insight into who I am and a little bit about my pride is I was like, coach, that doesn't sound as good as CEO.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then I was like, but I get great fulfillment from helping others succeed. And I have the skill set and the experience to do just that, to help others succeed.
Right.
And so I decided in September of 2023 to do this full time. And so started doing full time coaching in September of 2023. So most of my clients are emerging brand franchisors. So they are, I think my largest brand that I'm working with right now has 120 locations, 40 franchisees. And I think my next has like 75. And then the next after that has like 54, but only 12 of those are open.
Right.
They're in the early stages of walking this path that I did for 20 years. So I get to come alongside them and we talk a lot about mindset. We talk a lot about strategy. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about team dynamics. We talk a lot about the foundational elements that you need in your business to succeed, like self-awareness of who you are as a leader.
Yeah, totally.
And then we talk a lot about the franchisee-franchisor relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so those are kind of the things, it's all the business stuff and it's very, right now, all of my 20 plus clients are one-on-one, but I'm at capacity now. So I am going to be doing a one-to-many model in the fall.
I'm going to be launching
something in the fall for, it's really the demographic that I'm looking for is going to be for entrepreneurs who have 3 team members or it can be 3 full-time equivalents.
Yeah.
So you can have yourself full-time and 2 part-timers or 3 part-timers, whatever, that equal 3 full-time equivalents and contractors included. If because a lot of us, my company now, my entire team are contractors.
Yeah.
Amazing. You don't have to worry about payroll. It's awesome.
Because it's not unusual for a contractor to help you and help other business owners.
That's my entire team. My social media person, my director of ops, my executive virtual assistant. We have like a team coordinator and they're doing those things for other people as well. And it's been wonderful. But this thing that I'm launching is going to be kind of a foundational model that I had something, we talked about transformations earlier in the podcast, and I didn't mention that my company, we took our company through something called EOS. Have you heard of EOS?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. So we did the EOS model and it was transformational. So we took JBF from a $35 million company to a $55 million company in 3 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
A legacy company. It just was very transformational for us. And so I have taken those methodologies that I learned going through the EOS process with my team, and I have drilled it down for smaller companies, because EOS is meant for companies that have 10 employees and 5 million in revenue. But the methodologies and the systems that I learned, I then took and replicated it for my Shine Executive Coaching business.
Yeah.
And we're growing. We have a vision. We have 90-day milestones. We meet weekly in our momentum meetings. And so oftentimes with my clients, because I get to come at the 10,000 or the 30,000 foot level and I can look down, I can say, oh, okay, we need to work on this. There's strategic.
Yeah. And because you've been there.
Yes.
So the people that work with you not only get the benefit of your expertise, but the fact that you've been there and you've walked in their shoes at one point, which is really valuable.
Yes. It's been, man, I love talking business. My husband will kick me under the table sometimes when we're at dinner with friends. And I know that means, Shannon, you're talking about business too much. We need to switch this.
Well, but you can tell that you're excited about it and that it's important to you, and that you're sort of continuing, I don't want to call it a crusade, but you're kind of continuing this mission to impact as many lives as you can, which is great.
Yeah. In
fact, we get into business.
My 10-year vision is to help 1,000 founders and entrepreneurs have more income and impact.
Love it.
So I'm 2.5 years into that, and I know I'm going to reach that goal, and it is. Makes me very, very excited to know that every single person that I get to touch through podcasts like this, that they're having some sort of transformation just based on the experience that I've had. Yeah. Culmination.
Well, it's like I always say, a client experience isn't just when they pay to work with you.
Right.
A client experience is somebody's experience with you, which could be listening to this podcast, for example, or having a conversation with you in public, or somebody that you get into the DMs with and have a conversation with. That's still an experience, right? Yeah,
totally. Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you say to the person out there? Last question. What do you say to the person out there who's, I don't want to say on the fence, but maybe they're kind of conflicted. Maybe they don't really know. Like maybe they're at a point in their business where they're trying to figure out what's next, whether it's franchising or doing something else. Like you've offered a lot of pieces of advice, but what do you say to that person?
There are a lot of business owners who feel stuck.
Yeah.
So I can tell them what I did in my business was looked to other people. I think having an outside perspective, it opens your mind, because we can get very, very tunnel vision.
Totally myopic.
Here's my fear. Here's what I'm going through. No one understands. What am I going to do? I have no idea.
Or you don't think that people actually understand where you are. It's like, and let me give you an example. What people might say is, well, you don't understand my situation.
Yes.
And you're just like, you're right, I don't. But here's what I can tell you,
Help me understand.
Exactly. Right.
Like help me understand. And so usually with my clients, I think most people who work with business owners will do their initial, free call.
Yeah.
And how I do, I'm not a great fit for everyone. And so I do something called a clarity call, and we spend 45 minutes to an hour. I get to ask a series of questions, and the goal of that is for me to listen to where you feel your pain points are, where you feel your barriers are. And then I'm listening to see, do I have the skill set to help these specific pain points and these specific barriers? And if I do, at the end, I'm going to say, hey, this is how I can help you. And at the end, if I don't think I can help you, I'm going to say, I don't think I can help you.
I don't think we're the best fit.
Right. Or here's someone who you might want to check out.
Yeah.
And I think, as long as you stay inwardly focused on your own issues and your own fears, and you're not willing to raise your hand and say, hey, I might could benefit from some other ears on my problems, I think you're going to stay stuck.
Yeah.
And so, and that doesn't have to be you hire an executive coach. It could be you create a mastermind group of people in your area for free, right? You look to people in your area. In fact, I've given this advice to some of my clients is, okay, you're the only music school in, you know, Idaho. Let's look outside of Idaho. Are there other music schools that you guys could just plan a monthly call?
And just brainstorm with. Yeah.
So I think,
because I think we need to know that people are in the fight with us to some degree, right?
Yeah.
Yes. They may not completely understand like our position, but at the end of the day, that's not what really matters. You know, what really matters, I think, is that you say, okay, this is the problem I'm facing. Yeah. And I know I'm smart enough to know what I know. And I also know what I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, and I think we have to get real with ourselves and say, you know, I need to be talking to other people who are doing this, you know, whatever fashion that looks like.
Yeah. One of the, I told you I'm going to launch this. It's a 7-month container that I'm going to do where I'm going to be doing live teaching for 7 months.
I love it.
For true foundational work that is going to provide transformation. So much so, I'm probably going to give a money back guarantee because I believe so much in it. But the very first thing we're going to talk about is self-awareness on who we are as a leader. Because if you don't know who you are, your tendencies, where your strengths are, it is you're walking into maybe thinking you're this type of person or beating yourself up
in
your areas of weakness when you have all of these strengths over here. Yeah. So instead of beating yourself up for all of these weaknesses, let's hire for those weaknesses. Let's work in our strengths. And it's going to make
that was a mistake that I made early in my career was the mindset that you'll just take care of it. Well, it won't take as much time if I do it, I'll just do it. And, you know, in the beginning, that probably works for a little while, right?
Yes. Yeah.
But after a while, it doesn't work.
Right. It doesn't work if you want to scale. If you
only that, but it sucks the energy out of you so that you can't spend your time and energy on why you got into business in the first place.
Right. You know? I have a few clients that are sitting in that spot right now.
Yeah.
And we're trying to.
If I were to give advice to my younger self, like years ago, that's one thing that I would change.
Yeah.
Was this whole idea that, well, I'll just do it. It's like, no, I can go find somebody who will do it. And then I can go over here and get back to doing what it is that I really want. But, you know, we don't know what we don't know for a while.
Yeah. And if we're being truly vulnerable and transparent here, I had to learn that lesson 3 times.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
I just had this, like, I can do it better. Like, I can do it.
Not only that, but you think it's going to take too much time to train somebody.
Yes.
I don't have time to hire somebody. I don't need to go look for somebody or whatever. It's like that right there is the problem.
Yes. You know? Agreed.
Yeah.
This has been so fun, Allison.
Yeah. So how can people connect with you if they want to learn more about you, what you do, your new program?
We have not started advertising this new program, and I don't know when your podcast actually goes live, but we're probably going to start advertising the new program. It's going to be called Scale Secrets.
Okay, love it.
Scale Secrets, the foundational system. So you can go to my website, Executive Coaching.
Okay.
And you can also, I'm pretty active on LinkedIn.
Okay.
So I'm Executive Coaching on LinkedIn, but actually go to Shannon Wilburn on LinkedIn and you'll be able to, you can Google me, you'll find me.
Okay. Fantastic. Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing your story and your expertise and, you know, all the great things that you're doing to help people in the world. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk business. And
yeah, of course. Always. Yeah,
this opportunity has been wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. So awesome. So folks out there listening, if what we've talked about today has really resonated with you and landed with you and you would like to learn more about Shannon and what she does, or whether it's about franchising or scaling or anything else, please, you will find her information in the show notes. She mentioned her website. She also mentioned LinkedIn. You will find both of those links in the show notes. And on that note, if what we talked about today was really helpful for you and you know somebody in your world who you think would like to hear this conversation, please just copy the link to this episode and share it with them. No matter where you're listening to us from, any major podcast platform, we're there. You can copy the link and send it to them. Or if you like, just write to me and we'll do it for you. You can come to my website at www.theallisonk.com. That's Allison with one L. And just hit the connect button up in the upper right-hand corner and just write to us. and we'll take care of it for you if you tell us where you would like it to go. This is why we've been able to build such an amazing global audience and why I love hearing from you guys all the time. I get messages from you just about every week, whether it's on my website or in social media, about how you really like what we're talking about. And that's exactly why we do what we do and why we show up here every week to bring you the very best. So just know that whether you're listening to me today for the very first time or you've been following me for a while, we do consider you part of the family, and we thank you for that. This is Allison Katzkowski. That's what I got for you this week on the podcast, folks. We will see you next time. Bye.